for us that if we don't have eyes and ears on the ground difficult and problematic for the department has established the stakeholder forums across the country, which they help us as a department to identify areas where we need to provide those services, and as well as the oversight function in terms of how we are doing things. But in terms of the overall progress from 2009 to 2013, there's a number of health facilities connected for online registration of deaths, and that increased from 118 in March 2009 to 1234 in March 2013. So Mr. Kizers was the detail of those hospitals, per province. From March 2011 to March 2013, there was a 20% increase in the number of beds registered within 30 days, that is from 500,024 to 602,530 beds. And we'll recall, sir, that this program was only launched in 2009 in Libode when we're launching our national population registration campaign. But now we're able now to start seeing the results of that. 92% of passports that were applied for through the live capture process are delivered within the 13 working days, which in the past, the passport was taking about 3 months or so. There's been a steady expansion of footprint of Home Affairs from a total of 273 frontline offices in March 2006 to a total of about 403 in March 2013. A corporate account unit has been established to service projects and institutions of national importance such as ESCOM, with turnaround times of 2 weeks has been achieved. There has been a substantial progress with regard to civil services in terms of securing the NPRs, ensuring all citizens are registered, and delivering services according to acceptable standards. And so you know now that an ID document is taking about 54 days, whereas in the past it was about 180 days. But now with the smart card, we're able to have a turnaround of about 5 days. The facilitation of large volumes of persons through ports of entry and support for large international events is reasonably efficient and secure, permitting largely eradicated the backlog of temporary residence permits, and there was some efficiency gains in deportation and in the adjudication of asylum seekers. So we've hosted the 2010 FIFA World Cup and also the Africa Cup of Games and the various international conferences which have been in South Africa. We're able to do that through the system we've put in place. And we're also showing that there's a reduction in the number of asylum seekers in the country, though there's still challenges in that regard. With regard to the organizational transformation, the foundation will lead for the modernization project to be rolled out. Also, systems were put in place for the devolution of HR and finance functions to provinces. And the Learning Academy began to play a significant role in training and staff development, having established accredited and relevant courses. Well, sir, though at the moment that has given us a challenge as a department, our decentralization of functions, but we think that it is the right answer. But it's just that it's teething problems. But going to the future, we will benefit from that because we cannot afford as a Department of Home Affairs to be in a centralized version, whereas we're servicing everybody throughout the country. The DSA facilitated the second conference of African ministers responsible for civil registration in Durban, South Africa, which was of a strategic importance, because now we're able to start, because we're saying we cannot be able to succeed in the issue of the national population register if other countries were our neighbors, and as well as the continent and the world as a whole, we are not working together. There are still challenges in the department. Reliance on outdated systems that do not provide accurate management information remains a serious obstacle to improving service delivery and audit outcomes. This will largely be addressed through the modernization program. Yes, we have started now with a smart card, but there's still a challenge around the immigration systems, which are now in the next phase will be concentrating on that. There are multiple challenges in managing a complex and dynamic immigration environment, and as said, this range from policy and legislation to capacity and operations that involve many role players and dependencies on other departments. Historically, the priority has been on securing the identity and status of citizens, but more focused attention is now being paid to immigration. The issue of dependency in general impacts on performance against objectives, such as reliance on Department of Public Works for our infrastructure and programs. Efforts have been made to strengthen working relations while seeking creative solutions. Aligning and strategically managing the planning and budgeting cycle is a challenge, including HR planning, and steps are being taken to effect improvements going forward. As Chairman, we have even appointed a Chief Operating Officer in the Department of Home Affairs. It's the first time for us to have that, so we can make sure that we're able now to manage the planning and in terms of how we do the operations in the department. Those are operational department at the end. Well, so in terms of the overall performance against targets, which is something which we are really learning hard on it, targets which have been achieved 100%, because the Auditor General looks at what we have achieved 100%, which was is what is 25.4%, and partially achieved is 41.2%. What we did not achieve as a department is 33.3%, but I will be coming into those. To split it in terms of each program, we had about 51 targets. We're now going to the future is something which we are reviewing, that at the end we come up with too many targets, but at the same time we do not want to say we must reduce them in order for us to achieve. We want to have a balanced targets. So we achieved 31 and partially achieved 21 and not achieved the 17. Well, as the outcome, Chair, as we have already indicated to say, in terms of beds, we have registered 602,530 against a target of 594,000. There's always a question here, Chair, to say where, on what basis are we coming up with the targets? We are using state South Africa targets to say there are about 1 million children gone in a year, and then based on that, then as a department now we come up with the target for ourselves. But it's something which we still want to work together on this matter with the Department of Health, so that we can be able to say yes, that is the estimation, but how can we be sure that how many beds have occurred in a particular year? We can only do that once now, as the Department of Home Affairs and Health, we can have a system which is integrated. Well, though there are still beds which are happening at home, but they are not the majority. And then in this year, we connected 85 health institutions as a target of 8, as we know that is the priority for us to be able to push that target. In terms of the ID document that the 16-year-old must have an ID, we have issued 41,876 IDs to the young. Well, Chair, this one is still working with the Department of Education for us to be able to get the right statistics of how many children have registered for matric and be able now to make sure that all those kids still have the IDs. But there are still challenges which we are working with the Department of Education, where they still allow in some instances for people to write a matric without an ID document, which causes the problems once now that child has passed the matric. And now the Department of Home Affairs is targeting the 16-year-olds, for 16-year-olds are still at grade 11, so that by the time they go to grade 12, we've already, they've already have their ID documents. In terms of ensuring the rights of all South African and foreign residents, national identity system is one of the systems we want to design, which will have a combination of both national and foreign national database. So we have already have a process with the Cuban government, so we are just now finalizing that process. And with the live capture for passport and IDs, Well, we estimated that we'll have 167 offices, but there was a delay, as you know, that in the previous year we were dealing with the issue of settlement, which we finalized that, and then I went to roll out the system. So there were some delays during that year, but in the current financial year now, as you know, that the smart card was launched on 18th of July. And also now we've got about 28 offices which are currently running with the smart card. As of yesterday, we've reached about 56,000 people of those smart card with a target of 100,000. But by end of March, we'll have now 70 offices. And now it is reasonable. It's a question of rollout. The system now is developed, is working. It's how now we'll be able now to roll out the system. So the smart card, as I said, was piloted, and we're looking now at our EDMS. So if now you go, EDMS means Electronic Document Management System. If now you go to the Office of Home Affairs and apply for the smart card, you don't fill a paper. So that paper now, if we need your birth certificate, we just copy it and you leave with your copy, because now we've got an electronic system. However, we've got now a backlog of those documents which were already in our custody. So it's what you're now with this. We'll also be doing that now to make sure that all those documents now are taken into a system, but not a project which is going to take us. But going forward, there's no more paper in the department when you apply for those documents, as good as their birth certificate, as now we're issuing a bridge-based certificate on spot, so that now we're reducing the issue of paper. Then e-permitting and visa, the specification were approved, now we are implementing that. Then, sir, there's still an issue of the duplicate IDs. We wanted to resolve this duplicate IDs within 12 weeks of the target. Actually, because people were not coming up with this process, so we advertised by December 2013. You recall that the minister announced that all the IDs which are duplicate will be null and void in our system. But that does not mean that if I'm a person who's got this ID with a criminal record or I'm owing a bank, it means now I'm relieved of that. But it's just that it must not be the system. As you know, Chaba, we are linked now with the banks. So that if I'm carrying that ID document, then I go to the bank, then the bank won't be able to process your account. So that's what we've done now with the issue of the duplicate IDs to try and resolve it. Immigration, as I said, now this is with the civics, we are fairly doing well there, but in the immigration, so we said now our attention now will be changed towards this process. Well, there is an immigration policy document which we have developed in the department. Was a draft at that time, and now we have even consulted now with the Human Research Council to help us to do that research. So we'll be finalizing that process in the next financial year. A visa facilitation service, so we realized that on our side, in terms of these permits, if now we can have a company like this which is helping us on the collection of those visa applications. So abroad, we've already now implemented in this state, it was three countries before it was four. So now we're currently having seven countries which are operating on VFS, and something which we're looking for even inside the country. You recall that there was an amendment on the Asylum Seeker and Refugee Act, and in terms of that, there were certain recommendations in terms of how we'll be dealing with the issues of adjudication of those processes. And the proposal was the issue of coming up with the status determination committees. But we are not yet finalizing the regulations, but as we now were implementing this, there are certain challenges which we are still looking at in terms of how best we can run these status determination committees. What we interest is to make sure that we've got an efficient and effective system which must improve our turnaround time, because one of the challenges we're sitting with is the long process of adjudication mistakes, which leads to certain challenges that people are coming, and then for that process to be finalized, it can take up to 2 years because of those long processes. So that's what, you know, we are looking at as a department and say, will that be able to resolve that problem for us, or we need to look at something else? So that's what it made some delay. Then, there's a strategy in the department, something to are looking at in terms of how we can deal with the issue of the refugee reception offices. As maybe the committee is aware that we had some challenges with our offices in PE and even here in Cape Town. But by end of January, again, as a department, as a court directed that we need to consult with the stakeholders around Western Cape, that we have done, we have finalized, and we have issued a decision that still, as a department, we are closing the office which is here in Cape Town for a variety of reasons, and they were still working on us coming up with the refugee reception office, but the challenge is with the Department of Public Works to get a site as I've indicated. In terms of the travelers, we have looked at the ports of entry. We are improving our structures around that to make sure that we have got better facilities. During the festive season, now we had a good process at our Bait Bridge and as well as at Maseru Bridge to improve the processing of people there by improving the infrastructure. And then in terms of the public works, we're still working together in terms of looking at how we can improve the structure around that. But this process also links with the decision which has been taken by the cabinet to establish a border management agency, which will help how we run now a port border environment. So we're also looking at those ports of entry which are six of the indicators that we have done some of them. So we're also, in terms of that contract of the minister with the president, there was an issue of us to contribute towards realizing a positive skills migration trend of around 50,000 migrants annually. So what we have done during the, we have not yet been able to achieve that target. It's still very high, but what we are trying to do is to build now processes which will link us to be able to do that. So we've looked now at our permitting systems and can be able to differentiate when people are coming here to apply for a permit. If I'm a critical skill, a person can look at it. And even on our asylum seeker side currently, we are not taking those kids to just deal with people as they are asylum seekers, but now we want to be able now to help those with the skills we can report. And then now we are developing now a strategy to be able now to deal with this matter. So by this financial year, it will be completed by end of March. In terms of the department, how we are moving to it, strategy to reposition DHA as a learning organization. The strategy has been developed, it's been now finalized. As you know that within the department we've got our learning academy, and during the process of the establishment of the National School of Government, even with that process, it was agreed that the learning academy within for Home Affairs will still remain, because one is something which will focus into the needs of the department, because the National School of Government will look at an overall training of government, but the learning academy will be focused, so it is still remaining within the department. and we had a 2 liters forum, and then we had coaching clinics for 250 supervisors. So in terms of dealing with the matters of corruption, it's still a challenge in the department, but we've got a branch which is looking after this. So we have done 4 security evaluations in terms of our missions, ports of entry, supply chain management, and deportation. And we're in the process now of linking our database with the JCPS cluster department, to make sure that if someone has done something in another department, we must be able to pick up as a department of work, because people are just moving in between the departments. But if you don't have a system like that, then it causes a problem for us. And there's a concept paper which we are dealing with it in the department in order to really strengthen our processes of fighting this scourge of corruption. In terms of the obtaining an unqualified audit report, so that target was not achieved, but I'll still come back to it. We have a target of making sure that payments are made within 30 days. There's been an improvement. We have not yet reached the 100%, but we improved from 30% in March 2012 to about 86% in March 2013. So there was a process in the department. I think I will try to explain a little bit on this matter. Because as a department, we approach National Treasury, and then there's the issue of fiscals not able to fund our needs adequately. And then we had an agreement to say, as a Department of Home Affairs, we are collecting a revenue. So is there no way that we can look at collecting this revenue, but instead of depositing it into the revenue fund, it can be utilized within the department. Then at that point, what was thought as a rioting was to establish a trading account that we collect the revenue, we deposit in the trading account and utilize it within the department. But at the stage of implementing this, there's a lot of complexities which came about from the financial side, that you can't only just collect the revenue and then you don't look at the concomitant expenditures linked with that. For an example, if now in the office at Barra Street, I'm collecting revenue there, but there's a rent which is being paid for that building, there is a staff, therefore you need to split all those expenditures and link it with the revenue. And we decided as a department to say, let's abandon this process, and then we look at the best option which we can have. But I'll still come back to it. What was the effect of that in terms of unauthorized expenditure? Also, another issue we are looking at as a department, we are currently not having a home as a Home Affairs. We are still renting a building for our headquarters. Even our offices, there's a very little number of offices which are owned by the state. A lot of them we are renting. So we're looking at a model of acquiring now a permanent headquarters for DHA. But for us to do that, we wanted at least that the site must be owned by government, whatever model which we follow. So we're still working with the public works together with the Tshwane municipality to find a suitable site and then get follow that process. In terms of the post, we are still struggling with the filling of the post within 6 months. Out of the 895 positions which were filled, only 568 which were able to fill it within the 6 months turnaround time. So we're still working hard on this matter. It's one of the issues which is paying attention in the department. We have refurbished, our target was 15 offices, and we refurbished 19 offices throughout the provinces, but Mr. Mkhize will also give that list of those offices. So we're still working together with the Department of TPSA in terms of a strategy to bring services closer to the people, because currently we don't have enough footprint across the country, so people are still traveling long distances. So we are really looking what the other options we can have. But now with the technology which we have in the department, we see that there are possibilities of linking with other stakeholders to assist us on the matter, but at the moment we are still exploring those processes so that we can have norms, like an example to say, firstly, probably we need to say maybe an office between one and another, if it can be in a range of between 30 and 35 kilometers, is something which we think making home affairs more accessible. And then we start at that level, though at the end we want to be in each and every community. As I'm saying, there are strategies which are exploring to work together with the post office and see how we can work even with the banks so that we can increase our access. So in terms of the targets, we've got targets in terms of our products. So in terms of the ID documents, wanted now to issue 95% of our IDs within 54 days, but last year we managed 92.16% of the IDs to be issued within 54 working days. And then with the reissues, we've managed now to issue 98% of the IDs within 47 working days. And what makes that to be quick is because now we've got our system of verification within the office, so we verified within that level, and then it's an issue of just issuing that. In terms of passports, we've managed to issue 94.3% of the messenger debut passport within 24 working days, which are a manual process at the end. But now we've achieved 93% of the live capture passport. And then we've implemented the electronic queue management system in our offices. So we've implemented 5 of those offices. But now as we roll out a smart card, that process is linked. So in each and every office, it goes together. We don't implement a system without an electronic queue management system. Well, so in terms of the performance of information, we still said there are still issues with this issue, which we are trying to work hard on it. And I was saying that we are really looking at whether our targets are smart, and then be able to make sure that we've got processes of evaluating that as we go along. And all this will be dependent really on the systems which we've developed. Now with the smart card, we've seen now just a difference, because we've given now each office a target per computer to say one computer must issue 21 cards per day. Because now it's a system, I'm able to get that information on a daily basis. I know that office A has only issued 20 cards as against the target. I'm able now to call the office in the following day and say, why are you not moving with your target? But with the paper process, I'm not able to do that until you come at the end, and by the time you pick up that information, it's already late to do anything. But with your systems, you are able to manage it on a daily basis. Well, sir, in terms of the financial results, sir, in terms of program one, we had a savings of about 140 million, whereas on citizen affairs and immigration, we had an over expenditure. But let me explain, as I was indicating that the savings on administration one was based on our WIO program, which is this modernization. So we didn't move much in terms of spending, because a lot of time was taken on the development of the system, but now in the current year we're having a challenge now because we're just rolling it out. So we are consuming that money like anything because of that. It's just a rollout. So in that year, that was the problem. In this one, Chair, as I'm saying that the amount, this 226 and 74, was going to be financed from that amount is going to be collecting from the revenue. So when a decision now was taken to say we're no longer going through that route, so there was no way that we can get that money. So that amount was deposited now on the revenue fund, and then you know, in our expenditure, we reported the expenditure. So it was look like now we've got a over expenditure. It was because of that amount. So the in the current year, we have agreed now with Treasury Funds, we've already been given a 426 million to that vehicle. Hence, we are saying now the, you'll recall that currently in the old system, the 16-year-olds were not paying for the ID book. It's still the same. But because of this process, we're able now to say the elderly, anyone who's 60 years and above, is not paying for the smart card because that money, we're getting it from that vehicle of the, taking our revenue, which we're collecting, and finance the elderly people. So, Chair, it just classifies in terms of the current payments or the same process. The challenges were around the revenue. We still have a challenge with our foreign revenue and the penalties in the ports of entry, and all that is linked with the old systems which we are using, which we are trying to improve them. And then on the accruals, there is a building which is in London, but that building is rented by the Department of DECO, International Relations. However, now that expenditure was put in the books, which were not supposed to be done like that. And then on the leave, there was the issue of the formula error in calculating the taken leave, and people were cancelling leaves in the process. And then on the assets was the issue of the old assets which were fair valued and the disposal. Then in terms of the challenges which have already linked to it, is the issue that the decentralization of administration to provinces is still giving us teething problems. But now, for now, we've got enough staff now in the provinces. Well, additionally, they've got a director of finance. There are two deputy directors, one looking after finance, another one looking after HR. And then we've got ASDs as well within the provincial office. So now that will assist them in being able to deal now with these functions which we decentralize to them. And we are implementing now a new system which is bought, which we started it now in the last year, but now for this purpose it used the scanners. So now the provinces now are used now into the system. And then there was the issue of still having the old system for our, in the port of entry, we are still operating two systems, the old system and the new. So every year we are trying to move out those offices into the new system. For this year now we'll be adding another 13 offices, which will leave us now out of the 72 ports of entry, we'll be left about 10 now, which we'll be implementing now in the 2014, which is the last batch of that. The issues of control systems and outdated systems I've already talked about, and what we need internal audit to assist the department on. Well, in terms of the way forward, as we said now, that we want to review our collection methods for the revenue approach, and want to conclude the regulations for immigration. That regulation will allow us no more to have cash in our ports of entry. If now we have overstayed, you will be delisted. We'll continue to implement our IT modernization, which we think it is the right answer, which will assist the department to do things better. And we are sitting with Treasury in terms of how we can deal with the self-funding mechanism. But this year, we've already been granted 426 million for this process, which is assisting us. and we are working together with the provinces in terms of ensuring that we assist them in this process of decentralization. And we are implementing quality control mechanisms, and our internal audit is also assisting now in reviewing the performance evidence. And we've developed a standard operating procedures now to assist people to prepare what they must do in terms of the process. So, well, I would really at the end to thank the committee. As we are here at all times, then we'll be able to get guidance and be able to support us and see where we must improve. And also want to thank the Auditor General who have shown that dedication during the audit, and all what they've raised is helping us as a department to be able to see where we must improve. And we're working together with our audit committee and National Treasury, and it is still our prime objective as a department to obtain a clean audit going forward. Well, Chair, these slides are already there in the report. I'm just talking on what I've already mentioned, but just to give a breakdown if now we are asked in terms of a percentage in each office and even our issues of equity, how we are performing on equity as a department. That yes, at the same level now we are at 52.2% as against 49.7%, and because we know that the target must be 50-50, so we are still working hard on that. And really, we're still with the disability, we're still not moving, but we are trying to put processes to address that. And we'll say issues of performance contracts and then the grievances, how we deal with that. That's it. Thanks very much. I was trying to rush at the time, but as I said that Mr. Mkiz has got the details, you know, when the questions are asked in terms of how the split between the provinces. So we'll deal with that. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Mr. Aplin, for that report, and let me from on behalf of the committee, we would also like to thank the department for ensuring that we are all the recipients of the new smart card as members of this committee. I'm sure all of the members, we got the new smart card, and the process of obtaining that smart card was very smooth. We were very impressed by the manner in which it was processed, fast, smooth, and the pleasant attitude of the staff in that office. We thank you very much. At this stage, I will allow all members to ask questions on the report as presented. Honorable Papa, Honorable Mule, Honorable Familia, Honorable, we'll come back later. In that order. Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the department as well. I'm sorry I was unfortunately at our rooms down there in the Marks building, and I waited for this meeting to take place, and like once was then I saw that I'm at the wrong venue, so I'm sorry for being late. I just want to applaud you on the new ID card system. I got mine last week. I would just like to know one thing about this ID card. When you receive your card, my ID document was just stamped cancelled, and it was given back to me. I just need to know, do you get it back, or should the department actually take it back? And I'm just thinking about fraud perhaps that can take place with the previous ID book. And because, I mean, your firearm licenses these days are separate. And then the second thing I would just like to know on the registration and on voting day. It's still a concern to me, especially in the smaller rural areas. If a person should have the, I'd almost say the privilege by getting his ID card here in Cape Town, for instance, and he's now going to some place in Umtata area which is very rural, will they have a facility to see that this person is actually a registered voter to be able to vote in the upcoming elections? Thank you so much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Morning DM and your entourage. I would also want to air my appreciation on the progress that you have done in turning your department around. One on Facebook gets appreciation. People posting that they were taking the IDs quick, and after a few days they are back, and that is a very good progress. And also, when one reports problems to your officials, I've solved many cases relating to IDs, no prompt response of your officials is also commended. They come back and say, I've been helped, thank you very much. You have indicated, however, that out of those thousands of the duplicate IDs, you have not been able to reach all of them. Maybe because people have gone to Mashonisa and the Mashonisas have unlawfully taken their IDs, and the person when wants to use an ID goes back to the Home Affairs and take another one. My take will be, for those that are unable to trace them, I'm not sure whether they've changed their contacts. However, what I see, don't you foresee that when you try and contact them to come for the smart card, you may not be able to reach people because maybe the problem of contacts. But I'm also thinking another way to say the cell phone numbers are being recorded, and it's easy then to find people to say, where is this person? Or what contact? How can you reach this person? Can I then go to what you have just alluded to on the challenges on the devolution of the HR to provinces? I'll link it with the unfunded posts that the AG has picked up that have not been advertised, which amount to 43.50%, which to me might be very high. And I'm just thinking aloud that part of the devolution of the HR also includes the advertisement of the post. Don't you think that the unadvertised, the implication of not advertising this post in provinces then impact on not achieving the targets that you have set? And then what is your strategy then to mediate that going forward? In the sector that I'm coming from the education sector, where you will have bargaining councils in provinces, I'm not sure in Home Affairs what happens, where labor and the employer would agree that would advertise posts twice a year so that it then deals with the posts that are funded, but that has to go and not have acting people for more than 2 years or 5 years in acting posts. The other one is on the, so that then your intervention of devolution does not become an unintended consequence of slowing your progress. In your report also, you talk about the high staff turnover on senior posts, and you indicate that close to 96 officials have been dismissed, maybe because of corruption or whatever it is. Do we have, as you advertise those posts that where these employees or officials have been dismissed, do we have a strategy of closing those gaps if they were doing corruption, whatever it is, so that when Pinky comes in there, doesn't do the same thing, and then you go, you become dismissed. Lastly, you've made mention in your report that there is an official, what is this amount? There is an official that has been awarded a performance award for, I thought I've written the amount to say if that person, what are the measures that you've done to that, I mean, the receiver, whether he's still in the system or out, turn it to something, whatever, you know the amount, the correct amount. What has been done to recoup? Is it policy that any time back money you can give a person on performance? Because to me, this amount is too huge for a person to award the performance bonus or whatever it is. And to the person that awarded it, because there was a person that was doing performance appraisal. So the person that decided to award this huge amount, what has been done for that? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My question to the department is actually on slide number 15. In connection with the targets achieved and not achieved, if you look at outcome 1, not achieved 4, and that is a quarter, and then outcome 2, 7 not achieved, and that is 70%. Now, in connection with those two, it is actually a problem, and stated in the presidency, I'm just trying to hear, presidency management performance assessment, he's saying that the Department of Home Affairs is actually underperforming. Now, in relation to this question, and the 4 and the 7, I can understand that in that report from the presidency that must be the case. Can you explain to me, and I've read the problems you had in delivering and also achieving the targets, but from the department side, you are actually planning to reach a certain amount of targets. Now, at the end of the financial year, that is not possible. So my simple understanding is that you did not foresee that there will be some problems in that relation. So the targets set were too high. Was that the situation? Can you just give us the information in that relation? And then, Honorable Chairperson, the problem of the delay in the agreement not concluded between the Department of Home Affairs and SARS, that is also a problem to me, because especially this agreement is very important to you. What were the problems not concluded this, which you could not solve by talking to the two different entities, the Department of Home Affairs and SARS? So if there's no agreement, you cannot carry on with certain work. Can you also elaborate a little bit on that so that I can understand? Because
from SARS and the different departments, if they are not committed to help you, you must tell us so that we can use our opportunities to try and assist you and try to resolve the problems. Then on the chairperson, in relation to the unresolved policy issues related to the court cases, how far are you with us? That is slide 23. Slide 23. And then course of entrance. The previous year, we spoke a lot about the ports of entrance. And from the department side, the report from your side was actually very clear how you will approach it and what you will actually do to let this port of entry operate a little bit better. But we did state here that the Department of Public Works have a problem. They don't have the skills or the commitment to come to the table so that you can deliver. Now, this report here in the Department of Home Affairs is not actually a very good picture here. And when somebody is saying that is in our language, if somebody is blaming another person, then it's actually saying that you don't have the skills to address the problem, and that's why you're pointing fingers at another person. Now, did you have thorough discussions between the Department of Home Affairs and also the Department of Public Works in that problem, how you try to solve it, what they can do, or you can just give them an idea how they can move forward so that you will be able to address and deliver on your targets? Because those ports of entry are actually very important, because we are way beyond 1994. So we must try to address people coming over our borders, coming through the points of entry into South Africa, so that we can have a more normal situation. So that each and everyone who's coming into South Africa, that we have documentation about it. And that is why I'm asking that question. And then in connecting with the critical and other skills, you also stated that there's a problem. And in your report, you are actually saying, in front of the report, you're saying you have filled 60% of the posts. Now, at the back of this document, you are saying you filled 43.6% or 43.5%. That's a difference. Yeah. Human resource. Slide is no number. At the back, post filled to date 43.5%. And in front of the document you say 60%. So there's a difference. Can you explain to me why there's a difference? And in this relation, if you do have a problem in appointing critical skills employees and other skills, then I can understand that you will have the problems in the Department of Home Affairs. This department is very, very important, and you've done very, very good work in certain areas, very much not expected from us and you were actually surprised that you could reach that achievement. Now, if with this kind of percentage of employees, you know, can you just explain to us in relation to that? Can I carry on, sir, person?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
1 minute.
1 minute, okay, right. Then I can put the 100 questions. Now, in relation to the overspending, Honorable Chairperson, you are saying that printing costs for forms and face value documentation. That I can understand. But we can't get the situation while you're going through the financial year and at a third term, you are actually now finding that there's a lot of forms and other documentation not available now. Why did you not foresee that in the beginning of the financial year? And when reporting, you're saying that was the problem. Chairperson, and that one I already put. Now the plan of the central office is usually very nice and good to have a central office. Now my problem I've got, I think 100%, it's not misreading, 100% of the provincial offices have already furbished and established and so on. Now getting into a central office, will they come up a few problems while you establish the central office that the provincial offices will be downscaled? Can you just elaborate on that?
Because I've got a little problem in that situation, because previously I've experienced that. And then the last one, Honorable Chairperson, in connection with the litigation against the department. Can you just explain to us the status of the largest litigation case in the Department of Justice? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Some of the questions have been already posed by the members. For instance, the reasons of not achieving the 17 targets. That question has been already been posed. And I would like to know on the learning academy that has already begun, how many officials have gone through the training and development in this area? And every time you present this new smart card, either at a bank or anywhere else you go, everybody is excited by this new smart card. I'm not sure whether in your presentation you told us about when are the citizens going to switch over to the new smart card. So everybody is interested to have this new smart card. And on the strategic objective 2.2, it's referring to the status determination committees which were not established as planned. Can you elaborate on the nature of challenges that we are experiencing for not implementing this committee? Again, on strategic objective 3.4, the target was 100% here on the funded post. 895 funded posts were filled by 31 March in a 6-month turnaround. But the department is experiencing capacity challenges in filling posts in this area. Can we also hear more details on what kind of capacity challenges the department is experiencing? Maybe you can make some suggestions in this regard. Yeah, that will be all from me.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're going to hand over most of those questions. But also let me throw the gratitude back at him. we had said to you that you apply for the pilot trip, we were still testing the system, mm-hmm. and you were applying. Mm-hmm. We're very grateful that your experience was that it was a speedy and efficient process, but things could have gone wrong because we were testing. Mm-hmm. What we can report to you, we've just come out of a meeting with the minister, we've got a report on the progress of the rollout. Is that now that our officials are very convinced with the system, the efficiencies have improved in recent months. So actually, when we have a full rollout of the smart ID card, you know, ordinary citizens will actually have a much better experience than even the MPs in terms of efficiencies and how quick the process is. So I think the strangest thing is now that the support is on, but because this is such an efficient process, they're able to produce a smart card within 2 days of something. So people come in, particularly pensioners, they come in, they apply, and they think they're going to wait 2 months to receive it, and then they get an SMS within 2 days to say, come and fetch your car. So what they do, instead of coming to fetch it, they phone us to find out, is it true? So we're very pleased about this, but people are not coming to fetch their cars because they think it's a hoax. So we are, as part of our communications plan, going to be speaking to members of the public to say that it is possible that you will receive your card within 2 or 3 days of applying. Please come and collect your card. So apart from that, and because I just want to talk about the last one, I'm going to hand over to the DG, and then what I will do at the end of the session is if there is anything to be picked up on the public.
In terms of the honourable chair and the members, as you said, that the questions which are asked are always helpful to us up here. Sir, I will start with the issue of why we are having people now receiving their ID cards back. The question we asked ourselves was, people are working from this ID cards. We will have a problem of the scholars. Because I was estimated that 38 million people are having these ID cards. So right now we collect and create another source. Also we're faced by situations where people said, look, at this green ID book, it was a sensible moment. Because in 1994 was the first time that people went to get this kind of sense to speak to them. Was this said? It's coming from Donbass area after the IT group and Nakashmat Council there. Now to make sure that it cannot, for example, another one we have, to say, I take your IT group, is kept by an official. That official take that IT group and go to something else. Then I'm going to account for it. But if it is with the owner, then the owner must look after it. But what we have done here is to punch it so that we can make sure that a person cannot utilize the tool. But even that process started later, not at the beginning. She said, please punch it so that people can keep it. That was the question. Well, sir, the issue now which has been raised about the voting day is something which we go and think about. So I said, this thing may come. So she said, later I lost my ID book. So the Home Affairs, I think, should as a process to assist people on the day of the voting, but we have never done it before. It's something which you want to go and think about. Because what we are doing is to say, I've lost my ID, but I just, but not for you to go and do registration, but I can be able to go and vote. So it's something which you have to go back to the department and you can think about it. Then the issue which is led by Honorable Mube, I'll go to those now. But what I've left out, Mr. King and the colleagues will deal with it. Well, I'll leave the issues of the IPs to Mr. King and administration. Let me deal with the issues of the devolution of power to the communities. Yes, as Honorable Mube has created a sense. the intention of the infrastructure versus the capacity to us not in the problem at the same time. And also there's only now that there's a lot of British directors of the assistant director to be able to assist them not to discharge that also the police time. And we've also now decentralized authority as well. So now as a provision manager right here, they're able now to approve a post up to less than 8. And if you take the positions that they publish are level 6 and level 5 and level 8. So now a provision manager has got a power to approve that. But the issue that I've put still called the delays is where now you are appointing the vice. If you think of advertising, which is not to take about. But there's the issue to say it is too costly when everyone advertises. But if now you advertise centrally, you get a benefit of the cost of the case. But it causes now some delays in a way. So it's something which you still want to look at it to say, but because if now we appoint air service provider in a way, so that when I make a problem, the air service provider can go to as well as maybe there. Why we can help is to say, probably says Home Affairs will advertise twice in a month. So the provision manager, hey, I don't need to go to headquarters, but I'll be targeting that particular week. So as we do these things, we are learning on whatever is now we appointed, that is something which we need to do. Then the issue of this high turnover. At times when we say a success is also come with other difficulties on the other side. Because now people is easy for them not to move. It doesn't mean you're gonna challenge the same effect, but as things like that getting resolved in some corner. When the other departments now, when somebody applies, they say, I'm from Home Affairs. Now they say, how will you can this? Let me take this person. So now that success on the other side is also creating another problem. Yes, there are people who might need with other resources, but if you can look at it, then most people are getting better offers from other departments. They move out of the department. Then create this. That's why when I come to that issue of the 42% and the 60%, I want to explain one of three over where it is. It is like now, those are the issues. You find that now you budget for this post, but the people are resigning, and that now that number more than the one. And then now it creates that, but I will explain when I come. I've looked at that figure. That figure is in page, is that a performance bonus? It says that 5,747, 35 cents. But it's because there was the R00. So that looks like it is the 25,775. Actually, it is the 25,747. It was only one person. So it was only the issue of that R00. Let me move now to the issue of this is of why things are not achieved. We are promised that as well saying that as a department is something or even to understand even the game as a team. I also make an example of this earlier. Because I think also general, it must be 100% in one of the areas on the issue of the passports, you will see that we have 94.3%. Because the target is 95%. Whether you are less with 0.7%, that you have not achieved. And the other difficult one, and you can see I do with the such a but you also understand that if this year you have the target of 5 and then now you only achieve 3 and then the 2 you did not achieve and you move it in the following year. That too does not count in the following year. Who have achieved it? So you can see when we have implemented this system of the queue management. We wanted to implement the queue management system at Marabastat, but we implemented it in the other offices, which are five. But as you say, no, I'm not taking that because it was from last year. So you utilize the money of the following year. So what it means now is that for us as a department, we're supposed by now, as an example, on March, we're finalizing our process. We must be able to identify and say the work in progress is so much, we are sure that by end of March, this thing is not going to be achieved. But we must roll it over even on your strategic plan. Because the strategic plan is going to be finalized and I will be presented here in the month of April. So by that time, I should take that gap and I put it in the following year. That is going to help in a lot to have this unachieved. So as well as saying that we end up like now, we set up two high targets for us. And another issue was even raised by the Ministry of GPME and say, as government departments, we are setting unrealistic targets like 100%. And so how can you say I will do 100% of this? It is just impossible to do 100%. Maybe we need to be able to look at the target setting. Or we say I will have 0% of this thing. But like the control is really not 100% in the field. So we realize the issue of not setting targets properly and understanding the system better as we go along to say, when we set these targets, we need to really be sure because the issue is not the issue of funding. But I'm not saying I could not achieve this target because I did not have money. No. Because the money is there, but it's the question of able to get this key or able to spread this packet properly. But with SARS, I want to say, no, the SARS issue was not on their side. It was, you recall that we started with this process when we were settling our issue with the team, the sort of structures. And then in the following year, we're going to be able now to get into this agreement and be sure about the school. So there was a delay in the settling of the previous thing. And then by the time now the committee was already late towards the end of the financial year. So there's no disagreement between us and SARS. So it sounds like the system to implement the system which we have. So that is not it. The only challenge is with the committee. Let me explain government. What government for control purposes? That is to say, as the Department of Home Affairs, we do not have the right to do a search. Like as the Department of Home Affairs, I do not have the right to pay a landlord. So what happens? A landlord is not paid by public works. I have paid money to public works. The landlord closes the office. When that problem happens, the public are not going to say public works did not pay the rent. They just going to say, Home Affairs, our offices are closed. But if, as the duty of Home Affairs, I can override this, I want to speak to that problem. So they want to say, I don't have that money. It's like the problems when we sit, I know that I need offices in certain areas, but I can't go and say, I'm here at the landlord, I can advertise, I can get a rent which is fair, I sign the lease agreement. Once I've done that, I'm going to be charged because I've taken something which is outside my scope. And they have to tell me when we started to look for a place around the Bombo. But which I must, even if I find it, the first person probably wants to ask me, or if we can get another meeting, and if not, I've got another interest. So I'm going to go to them and just simply say, I am looking for a space and meeting. Even now, there's a process which has taken a decision on it with this smart card that public works has to build an office for us for GPW. But there were numerous delays there, but the decision was taken rather than just proceed, but I'm saying we said they must proceed, but I'm not sure that next year we're going to proceed to with that problem to explain why he did this. And at that time, it was not public works was doing that. It would be put such an error and reading what is in the book and then there's this. So that is the issue. Let me, I think the issue of water post, that's why there's a decision from the cabinet. That decision was taken as early as 2000 that we must establish a board that management agents. Because the problem, when we go to a proper age, then we return our limited water post in December. Once you get in there, you find a problem. All my friends are going to say it's a SARS problem. Once you talk to SARS, I'll say it's a police problem. But you don't have one question, who must we ask? Why is this happening in that world? It is the infrastructure, there is no light, there is no spanish. A manager will say, look, what is this cabinet? Has the cabinet took that decision to say, let us step this up, what the management agent is for, and people's command and control. So the Home Affairs was given at that task, it was started, then we given the task in December 2012. How we've done now, we've already now appointed, Minister announced, it was July, Minister announced the appointment of a project manager for the establishment of BMA, which is the end of Africa, was the PC of the COP. So it's the one now who's running that process. We've already now established a minister level facility with the interministerial committee. It's already in place. So we are moving with that. So without doing that, it will never resolve this. But the BMA will. And the mandate which has been given to the BMA is for the management of the entire border. Whether it's a borderline, with a port of entry, if we deal with that, it's up to the BMA now to say how are we going to integrate with the defense, how, but the mandate is with the BMA. So that's why we solve all those problems of the percentage you are correct, honorable member. What we're trying to show here, that's what I was talking about. If you look at that slide with the 42% at the end of this. This one, another dimension. If you look at it, there's a number of years which are not allocated, and the one that's vacant position, there's 1305. And then from there, you've got what we see is 568, what is vacant funded. This number, this one is the priority in a way, it's what we budgeted. 1305 is what other people are designing during the year. So at the end, when I was saying 568 over 895, give me that 60%. Because now I'm saying on what I budgeted, this is what I performed. But when I add now with some interest and advice, because when Oscar General goes and look at my establishment, they're going to say, no, you can't train for 895 vacant posts. Because even some of you have revised and must include. So that at the end, you end up now filling 42% of the total post which you have. So that is the reason which we are having. But if you go to the next slide, I've detailed now the total number to say in the audit services, I've got 5 under 3, then at the bottom, you see now that the number is still 1778. So that was the reason of the differential that we have to do. Documents is this paper we're talking about. Let me explain what age we talk about. When you go to the Office of Home Affairs, you apply for an ID. You see a form, and that form is in the office, and that form needs to be couriered to headquarters in order to process that ID. And then it will be processed, and I get my ID. That is not an issue. But now, when they're looking out for the supporting documents, I'm making an example of the ID. what happens is that's where my friends get lost. They are not part of the ideas of that, but the supportive fortunate. The reason is the paper. That's why now the new system does not want you to feel at all. My application is taken on the system. So that now there is no issue that there can be a form which is not talking to the documents which are published. That's why when we talk about the audit evidence, it's always that difference. That now you have produced this thing, but when I want the support for it, you can't find it. Because it gets lost on the time, on the filing, and on. Even when people were saying now the IG, people were complaining at the start with the system and said, no, I go to your office, I wait and some 13 minutes or 35 minutes on the process of the IG. But on the paper, it was maybe.
You're still a member of this committee?
Yes, but I'm also a member of the new
committee. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have to see it by
me. Yeah, we're also the new friend of the institution. Please, good benefit.
So that's why the turnaround is explained. That position is downstream. What you are looking at the head is not the position downstream, it's the headquarters. Because headquarters is about policy development and provincial about the delivery of the so as we finish this decentralization, we're going to be very small at headquarters and big at the provinces. For us with the smart card, we've got a big building in Pretoria called BTS. That building was sitting with people who are processing this forms and all that. But with the smart card, that application is done at the provincial, it goes directly to the printer at GPW. Then that stuff, we need to bring, scale that stuff, and then push it to the office. So, what is what we are looking at? The application against the department, these are the old cases. And the ones are sitting in our contingent like this. So you see, but that figure is more or less a static, it's not changing much. It's all those old cases. When I say old, it was before, it was around about 2006. At the same one, we are not having much on the ones of the contract. Where can I report other litigation issues is around our immigration. That's where we've got a problem. People complaining about the issues of permits, asylum seekers, and all that. That's where now we are having the issues of litigation problems. For shared reasons, we have touched on that one. How many people have been trained on learning academy is on the page here. Yeah, I think it's 1,172 which we can already be taken, but it's one of the tables. We see on page 193, but I will check on the for training provided, yeah, 1,207, and explain to you what were the skills and other programs, other forms of training, and then give the total number of how many people are trained. But where learning has taken us in a group job, even now on the 14th of March, there will be a partial coverage of immigration officers, which they have trained them, so we will bring some to do that. So the learning has taken us really that. With the smart card, when into the population of switch, we are estimating the growth of about 5 to 6 years of the use of our last. But our target now for this is 100,000 for next year. But Charlie, what we are looking at was the issue of how we the strategy of doing this, because we didn't want to bring the old memories of home affairs. For people that have long queues, standing on the sun, and so on. So then now we said, maybe a strategy was to say, let's start with the 16-year-olds, with the elderly, and see how we are performing with the number. Then from there, we're going to go out to the public and say, come now on the date of death. From March, the minister that announced that for the following year, and see how these numbers are coming from. Right now, our offices are more spread out. Then again, we're going to be marketing. So that is us who are looking on the marketing office You don't have to talk in terms of how people don't want to get frustrated standards in the relationship. It's just determination. What, why is not the determination? It's not an indicator to say the way that standard was approached was like it must be a committee. This must sit now together in order to evaluate this case. Now you think about the resources now which you will need in order to implement that. And there are cases which are straightforward. That's why I was saying in the policy process, we want to give you, the word is not a right for it, but we should go to the council for the profile of councils and be able to say that if I'm looking at social and financial, there's no way also it's not. I'm not saying that we below a personal candidate that you, but at that first day you are able to say this council is not prone in pursuing asylum seekers as in the DRC in a particular region, possibly the DRC, not the old DRC. But if that was a comment, even a straightforward case like that, you need now people to sit at the comments and it delays the process. And it needs much resources, but if we have a system which can be to speak to spend and say, if it is a more straightforward case, this person can be able to sit and do this. In fact, now GM is right, because knows the law, they say, in the court, there is a judge who sits alone and deals with this case, but there is a complex one where now maybe two judges sit together. So I'm looking at a system which can be flexible and able to say, I must not be tied up to a committee in the system. In some, I must be a committee, but in other circumstances, it makes us not want to be more. A capacity challenge, Chair, is the one thing which you are saying that I will try to address that, but how best we can deal with this. So now you advertise one post, you get a leadership to get about 20,000 applications. I must make sure that if I have applied, I am going to be able to say that my application was not.
On the issue of the CG that was raised in relation to the citizen's children and also if it is smart ID card.
If it is smart ID card that is lost, the principle will still apply because the offices, as Minister indicated, the offices will be open and people will still then qualify for a temporary identity certificate and they will still be able to go and apply. So that mechanism and that agreement is in place with the IEC. And then on the maybe on the issue of the duplicates and conducting the citizens, then we did approach both MTN and Vodacom around this matter, but then they raised the issue of FICA and in relation to disclosure of information for their clients. And we then agreed with them. They were working on getting hold of working with FICA to see how policy-wise they can be having a flexibility around the matter. But they wanted to comply with FICA regulations and have the issue of privacy matters being protected, and we do not have a problem. So we have approached them around that matter, and they are looking and they are willing to really assist us, but they just needed to have those legalities addressed. But we did work with the banks, and we do also work with credit bureaus, and because we had to distribute those lists to them to make sure that they can assist us with the updated or latest addresses. And that is why to date we have been able to really have a serious project, both in terms of advertising the names on the media. We've been able to also then have home visits conducted by the provinces in some of the instances, but most importantly to also then have the team that was working on this and have reduced the number quite significantly now. Well, this report is for 2012-13. As we speak now, we have also spoken to SAPO to have the letters that will be distributed to people personally before we refer to the invitation of the number 10, as Minister had announced. So there are efforts around that and getting hold of the people. And I think DM, there was then the issue of the ID, when you collect the smart ID card. As DG indicated, we agreed on two options here, that the honourable member is correct, that it was stamped as cancelled. Just like when you are deceased, it will be stamped as deceased. So it's either the punching or the deceased, but the effect is that it must be defaced so that it cannot be reused for whatever other purposes. And I think from my side, the Director General has covered almost all other things. On the printing costs that were raised, the Director General has indicated about document evidence. But one of the things the portfolio, the select committee had raised together with the portfolio committee was the challenges of errors and mistakes, amendments, rectifications. And therefore there was a need during this particular year under review. We were dealing with the issue of also introducing what we call triplicate forms. And we needed then to make sure that those forms are captured. And that is why then maybe the cost in terms of the way it's stated there. We were responding to the demand to make sure that people, when they come back and they say my name was written wrongly, we can then they will say you have your copy, we have our copy, can we determine where the error occurred? And that assists the department to make sure that we issue documents that are accurate rather than making mistakes and then pass the buck to the citizens on saying it's an amendment when in fact it's a rectification. So the department has intervened in relation to that. I think DG, I'm covered unless there's something else.
Thank you very much to both DG and DG. I'll just deal with one of two matters that have not been addressed. The first one pertains to the court case related to the refugee reception center, which was asked by the Honourable De Villiers. I think he wanted to find out what is the status of that particular case. You would recall, and maybe I should just contextualize so that everybody understands what the background is. As DG was saying, one of the things that we did with the refugee reception centers, and I think we've reported them before, was that we did an analysis to find out where can we optimally place our resources, such as the refugee reception centers. Most of the people who come to our country asking for asylum actually come from the north of our continent. Hence, the idea that we would want to move our refugee reception center to a border. Here we have got a refugee reception center in Musina, but there isn't one on the Libombo side, the Mozambique side. And so the earlier discussion related to the site itself. One of the things that we had looked at was the closure, the possible closure of the Port Elizabeth as well as Cape Town Refugee Center. Reason being, that the number of newcomers who come to these centers is very small. In fact, what happens is that they come to the other refugee reception centers and then they come for renewals here, having already had their files open there, which causes bureaucratic problems in terms of actual physical files having to be posted here and then getting lost and all kinds of difficulties that we've experienced. So the decision was then taken to close the center and then ideally move it to the border. Unfortunately, the refugee community, assisted by some NGOs, were very upset about this, and clearly their vested interests as well in terms of NGOs being funded in Cape Town and so on to assist refugee communities. And most of them do very, very good work. But they were very upset that we had decided to close the refugee center. They took us to court. The court, initially in the Western Cape High Court, said that, well, the department's decision was unlawful, and that there was almost a right that people had to the service where they lived. Of course, the problem, Chairperson, as you know, is that we don't even have home affairs offices throughout the country. So not even every citizen has that right to be serviced where they live. DG was talking about the 35-kilometer radius, you know, optimum thing that we want to develop. But here, of course, the courts have different ideas. From our side, we said this is an executive decision. It's got nothing to do with rights. It's got nothing to do with wrongs. It's got everything to do with the optimal deployment of resources, which is very firmly an executive decision. We then appealed the matter, and long story short, the Court of Appeal said essentially that the DG would need to make known that this was a possibility. In other words, they gave us guidance as to how the process should unfold for us to take a decision. Having been informed by public participation, DG has reported what has been done. They had engagements again, and he has taken another decision based on those inputs that he has received. So that's essentially where we are at this stage with regard to that court case. There was one other matter that I thought was a very important issue, was the issue of corruption. The point made by the Honorable Mube was when somebody is removed from their post, having obviously been involved in any kind of illicit activity, do we do an analysis of the wrongdoing, and do we try and close the gap? Now, I think for the most part, we're getting there, but I don't think we're there yet. I do think that, you know, in other countries, for example, one of the things that other Home Affairs departments or similar departments does, particularly in immigration, do, is that they change their officials from their posts regularly, and they're able to move them around. Now, that is part and parcel of a larger long-term vision in Home Affairs with regard to the DHA Cater Development program that Learning Academy has instituted. So that if I'm an immigration officer, it mustn't be a hue and a cry if I am taken by Mr. Simon out of the Cape Town International Ports of Entry and put in direct street to the process. I should have that capacity to do both. Of course, there are other issues long term that we'll have to look at. The public service provisions, very rigid. I mean, to move somebody from one location to the other, you need their permission to do so. As the employer, one would want a situation that you employ somebody on the basis that they understand upfront that they are able to move at the whim and fancy of the provincial manager or anybody else. So that's where we hope to get to, and I do think that for that we're going to need a great deal of support, especially from Parliament. But I think the cart is beginning to move in that direction, and I'm sure that at the end of this process, we will see that kind of system being implemented a lot more vigorously, not just in Home Affairs, mind you, in many other security-led departments. Because the issue is not so much about getting to people once they've committed corrupt activities or illicit activities. The issue is about preventing it from happening in the first place, and to be develop your systems in such a way that it becomes almost too difficult to undermine and so on. So we think we've made a start, but certainly we have a long way to go. So. And I think that's about it, unless there was something that you have noticed that we have not responded to.
I believe we have answered all the questions that we posed and comments. If there are no more questions, because we still have an item to deal with as a committee, I'll take this opportunity to thank you very much, the Minister, for being present here this morning and also the presentation that has been made to the committee. We hope that the department will be able to receive a clean audit next time. We're still here in the next, in the fifth term. Oh, you're lucky. You're lucky. You know that. Thank you very much, Minister. You are released.
Thank you. Just on behalf of the team, express our gratitude to you, not just for this session, but it's really been an honor for us to present before you, before this committee. We know that you're very hardworking people and always kept us on our toes. And we never ever had an engagement with you where we didn't go away having learned something. And so for that, we wish to thank you, chairperson, particularly, and every single member. It has been our honor to be accountable to this.
Thank you.
Yeah, Honorable Makunyane.
Sorry, you're later.
After I've demanded that he must sit in the meeting, he did send his apology. Can we start, Honorable Members, with this minute? We've got only 1 set of minutes.
Father, we need you for 4 minutes. Come quickly.
Get your copy of minutes and do a page one. And just look whether your province is there, but it's not even in another province like they usually do. Yes. Page one, are you fine?
Yes.
Page two?
Yes.
Page three?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
Page four.
Three.
Page five.
Three.
Page six.
I did not go to this, so I'm asking for the reason for this. I got it like.
We are on page six now. We'll help you. And last page seven.
Please.
Thank you very much. Any move for the adoption of the minutes, the true reflection of the last meeting? Mover?
I move.
Honorable Divina, seconder? Seconder. Honorable Suji, seconder. Thank you very much, members. Hey? Yes. Follow me at lesson. The next shepherd no one will get you, I'm telling you, get a shot. Minutes with no mistake.
Yeah.